Blog Talk Radio.
Come on. Good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am Brother Mike, your host this evening, and tonight we have a special teaching that's going to be brought forth. We're going to be talking about airwaves and how they can bring spiritual damage. I know that a lot of you are probably out there wondering, like, oh, what is he talking about? How can a hairweave bring spiritual damage? Well, tonight you're going to find out. We would like to thank our sponsors for tonight's teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Jackson, Reverend Wallace, Reverend Hawthorne, Reverend Montgomery, Reverend Billmore, Reverend McDonald, Reverend Simpson, and Reverend McLemore. Amen. Now, before we get started, Pastor John Durden, he's going to give a couple of shout-outs to some other pastors out there that are listening. And then after that, we're going to turn the mic over to Apostle Emmett Overton and get started with tonight's teaching. I hope everyone is blessed by it, and let's get ready. Brother John, you have the mic.
Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Brother John coming at you. I want to give some special shout-outs to, let's see, 10 brothers. That's Brother C.T. Wilmore, Brother Slappy Williams, Brother Cartwright, Brother Reverend Jackson, Brother Cotton, Brother Montgomery, Brother Frazier, Brother Wilkins, Brother T.R. Alexander, who is 97 years of age. Amen, 97. And then Pastor T.C. Billman. And then Brother Thornton, a special friend of mine, Brother Thornton. Hope you're doing fine. God bless you. And I know y'all enjoyed the session tonight. And this is new to me, too. I haven't heard this one before. And the Lord can give him some really cool subjects to talk about. I haven't heard this, and I'm looking forward to hearing it. God bless each one of you. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. All right, folks, let's go ahead and get started. Pastor Emmett, you now have the mic.
Okay, we want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We want to thank all of you who are participating with us this evening. And we have a very interesting subject that we need to talk about. And I hope that I don't step on anybody's toes tonight. But if you really want to know the truth, you need to listen to what the Lord has to say. Now, I'm under attack right now. Wait 1 minute. All right. I had a little connection problem, but sound check testing 1, 2. All right, we got it on. We're talking about a woman's hair is given, and hair weaving brings spiritual damage to you. When a woman weaves her hair with other people's hair, oh, my God, do you realize the demonic attack that that woman can go through, or a man? And it's really dealing with transferring of spirits, and we're going to be talking about that biblical transferring of spirits. When you buy clothes, old clothes from someone, their body is attached to that clothes. Spirits go with their clothes, and the demons hide in dry places. Cotton is dry unless it's with water, it comes diluted where they come out of it. When you bring in objects into your home, from a foreign country that is against Christianity, that opens up the doors to transfer spirits. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Heavenly Father, use me as your oracle and allow the power of God to teach the simple, as you have given me instructions under Dr. Derek Prince, to teach the Bible in simplicity. Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank for you to be the Son of God, and I thank you for teaching me your revelation. And I humbly give you glory, and we ask that demonic spirits be removed from these people right now. You deaf, dumb demons, you tired spirits, slumber spirits, you have to go now. Go, Matthew 8:32, go. Please turn to me with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 14th and the 15th verse. And we're dealing with hair weaving brings spiritual damage. It's transfer of spirits. And a lot of African-American sisters in the islands down there doing this thing, man, and mixing their hair with other ingredients, and they don't know the spiritual repercussions that you can get by taking someone else's covering. Hair represents a woman's covering. It is her glory. And using someone else's glory that's not your glory doesn't make sense. Spiritual world. That defines the law of righteousness. When you're taking someone else's parts of their body to enhance your body, that's necromancy. That person could be dead and their hair is still with you. That person could be an atheist, a Buddhist. Do you know that the women in India sell their hair to companies like that for you African-American sisters that are putting on trying to look like white women? Black women, don't put that stuff in your hair. Mixing chemicals in your head, trying to bleach yourself to be something that you're not. See, these are the illusions of the enemy. And I know a lot of sisters are going to get mad at me, but hey, I got to do what the Lord tells me to do, man. You got to get booked. Got to get booked. See, this is needed because people are doing that. And they don't realize so much damage that can happen to them. Putting a wig over your head, falsifying the covering of Christ, the glory of a woman with an artificial wig made by man that has no covering if he's submitted to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even men, we have headship. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Paul is concerned about the proper relationship between man and woman, and he seeks to uphold the relationship as ordained by God. He maintained that in Christ a perfect spiritual equal existence among women and men as heirs of God and grace, yet it is equally involved in order and submission with respect to the authority of God. As God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. The word head seems to express both authority and divine order. Paul bases the husband's headship not upon cultural considerations, but upon God's creation and activity and purpose in creating the woman to be the help of a man. Submission is not demanding to one's position, for if it does not imply suppression or oppression, rather it states in bondage. Therefore, both would have to submit to Christ. So there's headship in this. Now, you got something over your head that's going to block that. Now, if you're a Christian, that's the hair that God gave you. See, that's the hair God gave you. If God wanted you to have this long hair, he would have gave you long hair. And see, I'm praying, I'm breaking a curse. The Lord showed me that having bald head is a curse. That's right. And I found that out today. And don't you think I'm going to get my hair back, because I'm going to get back what Satan has taken from me. You can have a disease with somebody's hair on you. Let's look at this more profound in the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 11:14-15, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Now, that's the woman who have long hair. That ain't you getting somebody else with long hair claiming their glory. That's the problem, because it's spiritually unbalanced. It's taking the nature of someone else's creation and putting it on you. So that's transfer of spirits, baby. And you sisters don't realize that this is why a lot of women call me with headaches. And then they got that thing over their head. They go like this here. And be itching. And they just going like this. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. They're just miserable with that thing over their head, trying to project an image that society likes. You see, the reason for dark people to have kinky hair is because it absorbs the heat. Blonde and straight hair that white people have can handle cold weather. That's all that's all about. And the devil has wrapped it to make people get rejected and like one culture of another and not even know who you are in Christ. Because If you know this, you would not have someone else's covering over your head. Now that you know it, you got a choice to make. You got to take that stuff out your hair. If y'all born again, sister, saved and filled with the Holy Spirit now. Hang on, the Lord just gave me something. Hang on. Boy, when you fast, you can hear the Lord so clear. Just like that. You see, once I share this with you, sisters, it ain't on me no more. On you. Ezekiel 3:18. The Lord told me to give this to some of you. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. God warning you, that's transfer of spirits, man. I don't care how pretty it makes you look. You are beautiful with your natural ingredients. If God wanted you like that, he would have had you with hair like that. You are the creation of God. Who is for you to change God's creation? When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak it to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turns not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. That's what I'm doing now. I'm delivering my soul from this. Because a lot of pastors don't teach this. See, this don't make people get upset and they don't want to tithe and all that stuff. I can't worry about that. We did an introduction on fasting. Only had 7 audience. That's sad. And most of all our 275 off, everybody needs to be fasting with us. If you didn't get the message, live deliverance on that radio, we're doing a 3-day fast. We'll be fasting 3 days for 3 months. I'm going to be fasting for breakthroughs and miracles and signs. Word of knowledge will be moving tonight as the Holy Ghost moves. Now let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 11:14. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. That's somebody else's hair is given for their covering, and you got their hair on your head. Big Mike, can you give me a comeback on this? Talk to me about that, Big Mike. Does this make any sense? Come on, Big Mike.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, I was familiar with that, with this teaching, and I was surprised when you put it up. I'm like, you know what? You know, a lot of people need to hear this, because you think about it. There's a lot of women that are out there that are doing this, and this has become a million, if not billion-dollar industry, selling other people's hair, and they don't realize spiritual implications. And damage
Lord,
that can be done because of this whole thing. And it's sad because of the fact that it's almost like a slap in the face to God, because of the fact that you're not happy with what he's already given you. Now, I understand that, you know, that there are conditions where, you know, people lose their hair, like with alopecia and all that, you know, certain conditions and all that. So, you know, that I can understand, you know, if you want to put something on your head, you know, to keep that same confidence. You know, you want to feel beautiful, this, that, and the other. But to just, like, you just see, like, and I don't want to, like, say step on anybody's toes, but, you know, you're beautiful the way you are. You know, you're beautiful
exactly,
the way God made you.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I believe that I believe my wife's the most beautiful woman on this earth. She's very attractive, very pretty looking. My wife's Jamaican, and she wears her natural hair now. Thank the Lord. When y'all do that, you're crossing over demons into on your body. Those are ley lines. Demons can go in hair through the ley lines. Man, I pray that you sisters really understand me. Another thing, Brother Mike, I really believe, can you hear me, Pastor Mike?
Yes, sir.
How are we doing in the blog talk in the YouTube room?
No, there's 3 watching right now. Nobody's chatting.
Okay.
But there are 3 people in the
room. Okay. And I really believe that it's a way that when people do this, they're either doing it because everybody else is doing it, They're doing it because they don't know the spiritual significance. And I'm going to thank the Lord. Forgive me. The Lord is going to break down her. The Lord say, you ain't doing nothing. I'm sorry, Lord. I slipped. The Lord is going to break and teach us. I don't like to get in the way of God. I have really fear the Lord. I'm scared of him. I don't want to bother him at all. And I'm sorry, Lord. But when you do this, danger. Now watch what the Bible says. Now I'm going to break down and give a teaching on transfer of spirits. And then you're going to see what the Lord is saying. Amen. Big Mike, read this and read it real slow, Big Mike. 1 Corinthians 11:14 and 15.
Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 11:14 and 15. Hold on. First Corinthians chapter 11:14 and 15. Doth not even natural itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?
Stop right
but
there,
if
Mike.
A woman.
Mike, stop right there. Go back and read 11:14 and stop, and I'm going to read something, then we'll just go back to verse 15. But go back and read it, then stop and give it to me.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?
God desires that the physical difference between a man and woman be observed. Paul used hair as an example, starting that the length of the hair of men and women should be such as a distinguish between one of the other. A woman's hair should be long in comparison to the man's, symbolizing her acceptance of the dignity and worth of her womanhood as God created her. A man's hair is contrast to the woman and should be shortened. At Corinth, long hair for men signifies pagan male prostitution in those days, and short hair for women identified them as prostitutions. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Pictures portraying Jesus having long hair are based either upon assumptions but not scriptural basis. Jesus didn't have no long hair like that because the Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And y'all got this Michelangelo, this white Jesus up here talking about he the Son of God. That ain't no Son of God, because the Son of God don't have long hair. The Bible said long hair is for women. It's not for a man. And Paul warns us. Paul is going to go against Christ. Did Paul correct Christ? No. Christ gave Paul the revelation. Jesus did not have no long hair. Now, let's go back to this again, Brother Mike. Verse 15.
All right. 1 Corinthians 11:15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering.
But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such customs, neither the church of God. Paul was saying, if you can't do this, ain't no other such customs here. Now, notice it says, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. That hair y'all got on somebody's head is somebody else's glory. It's not yours. Now, let's go deep into transferred spirits. One of the most powerful and influential strategies used by Satan is the transferred spirits. Recognizing of this strategy will answer many questions concerning the negative changes sometimes seen in people. Transferring of spirit refers to someone assuming the character and the mannerism and attitudes and motives of another person. The actions of each person exhibit a certain spirit, for example, a gentle spirit, a boisterous spirit, or a rebellious spirit. This spirit can be influenced by a spiritual forces of good or evil and can be transferred to others on a personal basis or group. And demons can be transferred by hair, objects, clothes. That's why when dead people die, I don't put no dead people in my my mother's picture stuff. My mother's my heart. Now, that's me. I've seen spirits go into our pictures. And y'all thinking y'all seeing y'all mama, you're seeing a demon. Now, careful select the associates and people who are around you. Because when you transfer spirits, you got to be very careful of who is around you. Not only can you transfer spirit by hair, you can transfer spirit by associations of people if you don't have the arm of God on. Now, we're going to look at, and I'm going to call out the scriptures, and Brother Mike going to read them one by one, because I'm doing this live, and I'm also recording it for the future broadcast for livedeliverance.com. If anybody would like this copy of this MP3, it's $5. You can email us at overtonab1@gmail.com. Carefully select the associates of people who are around you. The book of Proverbs warns us the dangers of associating with those who have the wrong spirit. And here are the scriptures, and then we're going to let Brother Michael go through them and read them. The first one right now is Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. That's what you're going to read, Big Mike. Then the next one, and Brother Michael going to read it, but I'm going to quote them to everybody so you can write them down, you can go home, and you can study. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 through 15. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Now we're going to let Apostle Michael Smith, assistant pastor here, read each one of them to you. We're talking about transfer of spirits. The name of our subject is hair weaving brings spiritual damage. We are basing our scripture basis based upon 1 Corinthians out the King James Version. And it says, 1 Corinthians 11:15, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory for her hair is given her for a covering. So we're talking about you having somebody else having them weeds on your head and got some Indian stuff on your head, and you're a beautiful black African sister. You don't need to be doing that, black woman. Come on. You know, on Star Trek, when I was a young man, boy, I would love to see that sister on Star Trek. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, boy. I would break my mat. My mama say, boy, you sure ready to go see that sister? Lieutenant Horua from Star Trek. She was a pretty, they call her Anubia. That's right. And that was a Star Trek movie. They said that means African queen. So, sisters, please don't do that. Amen. All right, let's look at these scriptures. Brother Mike, we don't want you putting stuff in your hair. We want you to be blessed. Amen. Stop associating with certain people. That also brings transfer of spirits. All right, Brother Mike, let's go to Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25.
Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Verse 25. Lest thou learn his ways. I'm sorry. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul.
See that? You get a snare to your soul. A snare to your soul. That's transferred. A snare to your soul. Not your spirit, but your emotions. You got a person riling and hollering and screaming and all that. That anger feeds. And if you don't have your arm on, that's how spirits attack you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 through 15, Brother Mike.
Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away.
Because you can transfer spirits with people like that. Big Mike, Proverbs 14:17.
He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated.
Stay away from that. Proverbs 13:20.
He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
So you hanging with a companion of fools, again, scriptures to show you who to stay away from in the natural. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Proverbs 4, 14 through 15. Proverbs chapter 14 through 17. Proverbs chapter 13 through 20. Now, this one is a tricky one. This is how the devil gets you into church here with white charismatic witchcraft. laying hands on you can transfer spirits. Let's look at the scriptures. I'm going to quote two of them, and while I'm quoting, Brother Mike will be trying to find them. The first one is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Watch carefully who you lay hands on because you can get transfer of spirits. And the second is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. And let's look at both of these scriptures.
All right, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery.
1 Timothy 5:22.
Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure.
See there? Lay hands suddenly. You lay hands on the wrong person, you can get that. Now, if you don't have the arm of God on, that's how transfer of spirits really come. You got your armor up and you know this. Now, some of you women, you got the sisters, you got to make a choice. Do you believe this? You believe this coming from the Lord? Is this something I made up? This is scripture. So be careful. Get rid of that stuff. Before we study transfer of spirits, before we study a transfer of spirits and why Satan uses our spirit and try to attack us, let's look at some scriptures. In Zechariah 12:1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel said, "The Lord which stretches forth the heavens and laid the foundation and the earth and formeth them, spirit of man within him." God has created all of us to be connected to his spirit through Christ Jesus. And when you're connected to Christ Jesus, your life becomes hidden in him, according to Colossians 3:3. So if your life is hidden and you don't know these things because of a lack of knowledge, Isaiah 5:13 and Hosea 4:6, now people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, you're going to give the devil an opportunity to attack your life. Now that violates Ephesians 4:27, give the devil no place. Now, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he shall flee. So you're going to have to resist him by not putting that in your hair, because it does open up doors to demonic spirits. Before we study transfer of spirits, why Satan attack our spirit? Our reason, because God created our spirit. That's why he tries to attack it. It is the spirit that gives life. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead, James 2:26. At death, the spirit returns to God. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12:7. And our bodies go back to the dust of the earth. We need to take care of our bodies. Watch what we put on. Don't be buying clothes from other people and they're putting it on your clothes, man. You wash them clothes and sanctify them clothes and ask the Lord to give you some clothes. You'll meet your needs, Philippians 4:19. Don't get caught up in that stuff, because this is how people get attacked with these things. God is the Lord of our spirit. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, get a man over the congregation, Numbers 27:16. God weighs or judge our spirits. All the way of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Amen. God desires to put his spirit, the Holy Spirit, with us so that it would be able to live for him. I will put my spirit within you to cause you to walk in my statutes and will keep my judgment and to do them. Ezekiel 36:27. Why am I saying this? You got somebody hair on you and them spirits on you, man. And you scratching and itching and you wondering why you have a headache and you trying to fast and them demons from India maybe be on that hair, man, or from wherever they got long hair, whatever country they have, Brazil. Thank you, Lord. The Lord sent me Brazil, India. What's the other countries, Brother Mike?
Yeah, those are the main ones.
Those are the main ones. And you got that on your head. And demons in it, and they're connected to your body. It's like the outer temple. Jesus drove out the demons, and he was from the outside, went in and drove them out. Well, you can have an outside attack with that stuff hanging on your head that don't belong to you. It's not your property. You got somebody's covering on your head. If you don't see that, you're not going to understand what I'm saying. Now, is transfer of spirits scriptural? Yes. Is transfer of spirit scriptural? Yes. The powerful anointing of God upon Moses was transferred from him to the elders. That's number one. We're going to look at transfer of spirit out the Bible. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 through 17. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 through 17. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elder of Israel, when thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and offer over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand thee with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee, and I will, which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself. That's transfer of spirits. Oh, I love this minister of deliverance. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70, same 70 that Jesus says, the 70 apostles in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. That's powerful. Moses sent 12 men to spy out the land of God promised to Israel. Read the account in Numbers. We need to read that because we're going to see transfer of spirit in here. Moses sent 12 men to spy out the land of God promised to Israel. Read the accounts of Numbers 13, 17, and Numbers 14, 39. 10 of these spies returned with a negative report. They told of the great wall in the cities and a powerful enemy within the land. They transferred a spirit of fear and unbelief to the rest of God's people. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Therefore, we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, looking at it. And so we were in the sight, that's in Numbers 13, 31, and 33. The report caused Israel to fail to obey the commandments of God. Subsequently, many did not see the promised land, but two of the spies had a different spirit, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Chelbetz, the son of Jehoshaphat, who were among those who had spied out the land and tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation, to the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey, Numbers 14, 6 through 8. But my servant, Chelbetz, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now look what it says. But my servant, Chelbetz, because he had a different spirit in him and he followed me fully, I will bring unto him the land where we went. That's transfer of spirit. Two different spirits were seeking to control the people. One was the spirit of unbelief. The other, the spirit of belief. Chelbetz quoted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Numbers 13:30. But look how the negative spirit of the 10 spies affected the people. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people went there night, and all the congregation of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we have died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Numbers 14, 1 through 4. There were the spirits of despair, murmuring, and rebellion transferred among God's people. God's people were not kept out of the promised land because of the inferiority army, but because of a wrong spirit. Why were the people affected by the evil spirit instead of good? our sinful nature tends to immediately accept and believe an evil report. And if we tend to follow the crowd, if Israel had accepted the positive report, they would have had to expose themselves to great danger. Other human natures always will go when we do it our way and being transferred with the wrong form of evil. Contrast to prevent a transfer of evil, control your own spirit in Proverbs 25:28. Control your spirit. I don't let everybody be around me. Guard your ears. The ears is the primary entry point for evil spirits that produce slander, backbiting, gossip, decision, disannulment, and tension, Proverbs 20:19. Guard your tongue because it can transfer evil. In Proverbs 10:19, guard your eyes. Pornography, violent movies, anything that your eyes can see can be transferred to your soul. Guard the afflictions. Guard your afflictions. Do not give your respect and love and careless to just anyone, because people take advantage of it and you'll transfer the afflictions that they have and giving it to you. This is why God tells us there are certain people that we need to be around so that we won't be having transferred of spirits. From such, according to 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power from there, from such turn away, because God don't want you to be transferred with that spirit. 1 Corinthians 5:19, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man is called a brother, be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or an araler or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. Why? Because of the transfer of spirits. 2 John 1:9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath the Father and the Son. If there come unto any and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't even bring him in your house because of transfer of spirits. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5:21. Because of what? Transfer of spirits. Withdraw thyself from people who are not abiding by the word. 1 Timothy 6:5, perverse, disputers of men, corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supporting that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. That is because of transfer of spirits. Transfer of spirit is real. Not only can you be transformed like that, Jesus had a transformation. Well, the apostles here, the transfiguration in Matthew 17:1, the transfiguration means to change into another form. Jesus' appearance was transformed with his inner glory, shining and brilliantly. And Matthew states that Jesus' face did shine, Revelation 2:18, like the sun, while Luke adds that his raiment was white as glycerin, Luke 9:29. When he transferred our lives, we take something of his likeness, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. And if we don't have that transformation, we have not fully completed salvation. I hope that you enjoyed this. Again, the key to this scripture that we're talking about now, go back before we close. We don't want you putting on the wrong thing. Amen. You're going to have to stop that and get that weave out your hair. You don't know who hair it is. Please, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't say you're going to somebody just now. Lord just told me somebody said they're going to lay hands on and cast the spirit out their head and put it back on. God didn't want you doing that. That's a defiled thing. Don't bring a defiled thing into the camp. The children of Israel brought in some foul stuff. They took possession, and God told them, don't bring that stuff to them. And it caused havoc bringing that stuff, that defilement. You can transfer spirits by getting unks, black Muslim books in your house, pictures of Minister Louis Farrakhan. He's a Muslim. I believe the civil rights stuff, but I ain't putting him in my picture in my house. I'm not reading his Bible because I believe the Holy Bible. Pictures of movie stars dead, you're on the wall. That brings demons. Demons love inhabitations like that. A dead skull in the wall, a skull, anything that wasn't a skull face, something dark, demons will attract itself to. You can also transfer spirits with candles. Stay away from burning lighting candles in your house. I don't like lighting candles around me because I know demons manifest with it. I've seen it. I don't do it. I don't like candles around me. If you do it, the Lord will tell me to shut it off because you'll really open up a door. You can also transfer spirits with your children playing a game, Bloody Mary, in a room. A child go in there in the room and say, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, in the door. it would be transferred demonic in that room, in that bathroom. Be careful with any type of silverware that you bring that represent paganism or pagan art, Eastern stars, symbols. You don't put them in your house. Unks, onyx, Indian dream catchers, zodiac signs. Get that stuff out your house. Don't put that type of art in your house because it brings transfer of spirits. Now, we're going to do some, before we leave here, we're going to do some intercessory and prayer because we still are on a fast, and we're going to bring forth deliverance by prayer. In regards to men having long hair, what about men with dreadlocks? That's long hair. Got to go. According to the word of God. Now, that's on you and the Lord. I don't have it, but I found out that bald head is a curse, and I am doing everything I can, and by faith the Lord told me that I can get my hair restored. You see, God's word enlightens us. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. Hold up. Let me read something to this brother about that. 1 Corinthians 11:14, the Lord just told me to read this to him. Does not even nature itself teach you a man have long hair, that's concluding dreadlocks, it is a shame unto him. That's in the Bible. Let me read this again. I heard the Lord say, go back and give him that. This is out the word, brother. See, that's a custom. That's Jamaican custom. The dreadlocks represent the Jamaicans going in the hills because of revolution. And they went up in the hill and formed religion Rastafarian. And it's from a Asalami from Egypt. Is an Ethiopian a prince, and they use him as a symbol toward a Rastafarianism. Now, Bob Marley died because of that, because he didn't go to the doctor. They didn't believe in going to the doctor, and the brother died because he had somebody try to assassinate him and shot him with something, and he didn't believe in getting reformed. But beasts, be careful with long hair. Let me read this again for men. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? God desires that the physical difference between a man and a woman be observed. Paul used hair as an example, stating that the length of the hair of men and women should be such as to be distinguished between each one of another. That's why God don't want you to do it. A woman's hair should be long in comparison to the man's, symbolizing her obedience and to diligent in work of her holiness through God, as God sees her. A man's hair is contrary to the woman, should be short, short. At Corinth, when Paul was on earth during that time, men who had long hair signified that there was prostitutions. And that's why Christ didn't have long hair. Because why would Christ have long hair and he tell us to not have long hair? Christ doesn't go against his word. Brother Mike asked him, did that help him? And see if any other questions we have in the blog talk room, in the YouTube.
Okay,
we're going to come up in some prayer and do some deliverance. We're going to pray as we fast. We're going to come up against some spirits before we leave. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We let the spirit birds be removed in the name of Jesus. We are not afraid of the terror by night. We rebuke every high spirit bird that will try to attempt to attack any of us in our sleep, according to Psalms 91:5. I bind and cage any unclean and hateful spirit bird sent against our life in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. We exercise our domain over unclean, foul spirits of the air, Ephesians 2:2 and Psalms 8:8. Every spirit bird sent against our life, family, and ministry and church should be stabbed with a silver cord and cut and burnt in the name of Jesus, Ecclesiastes 9:12. I bind the cage and destroy every spirit venture that will try to come out against us to attack us by the blood of Jesus. We pray for Israel. And, Lord, we ask that Israel become protected. We pray for Finland, that there be a revival in Finland. Father, we pray for Brother John and meet his needs. We pray for Apostle Candace Durden and touch her in every need she needs. All the staff members here at Live Deliverance, Apostle Michael Smith, my son, and all of my family members, everybody in this room, Lord, we pray for them in the name of Jesus. We ask that a revival go forth in America. We ask that a revival go forth throughout the world, that the second coming of Christ will be known. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you pray and that you cover Jamaica. Cover Jamaica in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Lord, we ask that you cover Jamaica in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Cover Jamaica in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. Lord, cover Jamaica in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Cover Jamaica in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Cover Israel. Cover all your land by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you help those who are in need who's not working. Now, the Lord tell me to tell some of you who's not working. The reason why you're not working because you're tired. Now, you get this job back, the Lord's going to bless you. There's a person you had told God that you was going to tithe and you didn't. And you lost your job. See, you have to tithe because I don't need your money. That's in the Bible. He says you're cursed with a curse if you don't tithe, Malachi 3:8 and 10. We're doing a teaching on tithe the next week. So make sure that you tithe. Amen. Now, I feel led to do this. There is a particular prayer that I want to pray. It's a python spirit. And these spirits choke out revelation. Mind-binding demons stop you from hearing the Spirit of God. We're going to pray against that. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We take authority over every mind-binding demon that tries to block our brothers and sisters from hearing the Word of God. We come up against Lithocetuses, squid spirits, and octopus spirits that has tentacles. We come up against Arcturus and Maseroth and the high heavens of the principalities. And we come up against every form of witchcraft against any of us as born-again Christians. We rebuke and destroy every witchcraft candle in the city. We rebuke and destroy the seething pots and the candles stirred up by the enemy, Job 41, verse 20. We command every wicked cowdon in the city and the region to be destroyed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We destroy every witchcraft cauldron. We renounce and disannul all oaths, vows, pact made with the devil by any association with Satanism. We renounce and disannul all ungodly oaths made by our ancestors to idols, demons, false religion, or ungodly organizations in the name of Jesus, and we cut them off from us now. Lord, visit every witch and warlock in the city and convict them. Let them repent and turn to you and be saved in the name of Jesus. We are delivered by the balling pots and all evil, and we are delivered out of the midst of every candor of evil. We thank you that the blood of Jesus has washed us and prevented us to protect us from all onslaughts of the enemy. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We ask for a breakthrough. We release the fire of God unto every evil power now sitting on our breakthrough. I overcome and put to shame every enemy fighting against the birth of my dream and all of our desires. Lord, we ask you to expose those who are now behind the curse and non-achievements, every battle axe to be used by your word in the name of Jesus, and we break off every curse by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come up against clairvoyancy, white magic, black magic. We come up against Rosicrucianism. We come up against the spirits of destruction. We bind and cast out the spirit of death, Apollyon and Abaddon. We are redeemed from death and destruction. We renounce and disannul all curses of death and destruction in our life. We renounce every evil thought in our life, and we cast it down by the power and by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak to every mountain in our life, and we command all of the mountains to be removed. Now, the Lord is telling me to tell you, if you believe in him, and you ask him, he'll do it. But you got to believe. All things are possible for him that believe it. Now, we're going to lead with a powerful confession. And then tomorrow, we're going to do a prayer of financial blessings and protection as we continue to fast. Here's our final confession through intercession. Now, someone named Leroy, brother, you've got to stop smoking the cigarettes. Someone have headaches. Someone have headaches. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, ask the Lord to remove your headaches. Someone has bloating of the stomach. There's a person whose ankles are swollen. Put some anointing oil and say the blood of Jesus of Nazareth, if that's you. Lord, we thank you for our confession that no weapon is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment. We are established in righteousness in the name of Jesus. We overcome all by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, Father, Lord, we move right now, and we ask in the name of Jesus that every listener that's listening to me, that you meet their needs. Bless them financially. Give them the desires of their heart. Everyone who's listening, bless them right now. Bless them right now. Protect them in the name of Jesus. Protect their families. Let them get saved. Let their aunts, their loved ones see Christ in them and bring the gospel of Christ to their family. We pray for the blessings of all the hearers now, and we ask that the blessings of Abraham come forth and be a blessing to them through the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Are there any questions in the YouTube segment, Brother Mike, before we open up and before we leave?
No, sir.
Okay. We're about to get ready to continue this. Come into the room, 646-378-1857. Don't forget to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We need you to pray for this radio station, and we need your contributions. Please sow a seed to keep us on air. We are asking that there be a breakthrough and that we remove these spirits that's trying to block us from receiving income. Sow a seed to keep us on the air. Don't forget to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We're on air 24 hours a day at www.livedeliverance.com. All night tonight, Apostle John Eckhart. If you would like to see a live streaming service from Kingston, Jamaica, Apostle Andrew J. Scott, that's my pastor from Kingston, Jamaica, is on. You can watch them now. Bring the word downtown. And we got some praise and worship from Greater Works. We got new sermons. We're going to be having Greater Works on every night now from 9 o'clock to 12 because of the demands of the broadcast that he has. And we thank this brother now that they're having Spanish interpretation and that the word of God has gone global with Greater Works International Ministries. Check it out, Apostle Andrew J. Scott. Go to live stream and watch the service be taking place now as we speak. Shalom to you, and God bless. Okay, we got a lot of doctors and stuff in here who wants to ask questions and open up dialogue. Dr. Stillman Walker says, Big Mike, he wants to ask Brother John for his commentaries. He wants to, monitor his commentaries.
Amen. Brother John, you have the mic.
Okay, there's a... I enjoy that, brother. You really can for those who think Brother Emmett is copying off of somebody, I'm telling you what to say, and that's a lie right out of the pits of hell. He is another one of those young men who God saw his heart and spirit and said he's going to teach him his word, called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't want to deal with the Pharisees, because a lot of the Pharisees at that time could care less about spiritual things, anything about pride and the robes and everything else. But three significant points I'd like to bring out. One, he talked about 1 Corinthians 11:3, talking about the head of every man. And what I got out of that is he was saying that Paul is concerned about the proper relationship between a man and a woman, okay? And the man was supposed to use his wife as a slave. What he said, the Bible says he maintains that in Christ a perfect spiritual equality exists between the men and the women. By that I mean Paul based the husband leadership not upon cultural consideration, but God's creative activity and purpose in creating the women. So in other words, man wasn't made to be the big shot, the overhead, I'm going to beat your butt if you're not tuned to what I'm saying kind of a thing. But he's going to show the equality between the two. Man is the head, and his wife is supposed to support him in his endeavors. Then he talked about 1 Corinthians 11:14, talking about if a man hath long hair. I found that very interesting, you know. It says, I pick up from this, God desires that the physical differences between man and woman be observed. There got to be a physical difference between man and woman. He said, Paul used hair as an example, saying that what? The length of the hair of men and women should be such as distinguish between one from the other. He also said about this hair thing. He said, a man's hair, in contrast to a woman, should be short. We heard that. He said, did you know that long hair, now I didn't know this one now, but he mentioned it. Did you know that long hair for men signified pagan male prostitutes? And short hair for women identified them as prostitutes. Isn't that amazing? The men back in those days wore the long hair to indicate that, hey, I'm a sissy kind of a thing. And the women wore the short hair to identify them as prostitutes. And finally, he talked about transfer. And he just said, quoted, what's that, Proverbs 13:20. He said, he that walketh with men, he that walketh with men should be base. But I'll just break down my word. You got to watch out who you're related with, transfer of spirit. And we're supposed, if we're a man, we're supposed to act like a man. If we're a woman, we're supposed to act like a woman. And one thing about it, I found out. Male prostitutes, you know, on radio, and come find out and say, when you started? Do you know 9 out of 10% of these homosexuals that we talked to on the radio is because they were sodomized by their uncles, nine out of ten. I'll say, man, how did you turn like that? You know, what happened to you? Well, my uncle used to do it to me. When I was 10, 11, 12.
We got a lot of people, okay. Man. We got many people.
I am through. God bless you. I enjoyed it, brother. I enjoyed it.
All right, we got another one from Dr. Stillmore to Chaplain John Durden. Make it quick, Brother John. We got like 30 people want to speak to you, 30 or 40 people. That's a lot of people. Dr. Clipman says, what's your analogy between eschatology and demonology? Which eschatology that you are affiliated with, Dr. Herman Walker?
Well, you know, eschatologists talk about the end times, okay? That's all they talk about, the end times. In other words, we God wants us to know through Revelation, like end times talk about the last days of history, like for example. He talks about the last day of preparation, about what's going to happen. He talks about the rapture kind of a thing, and then about the great rapture, and then he talks about the tribulation, what's going to transpire, happen during the tribulation period. Then he has the great tribulation period, and then he talks about how the Antichrist will slip in and take over the Lord. And then we talk about the millennium, about 1,000 years, Christ will be with us ruling this world. And then we have the final judgment, then we have the new heaven, establishment of the new heaven, new earth. That's what eschatology is about, the end times. Demonology is how to deal with demons, all the different kinds of demons, man. Demons, infirmity, you got sexual demons and all these, and they're real. And some people get demons by dealing with occult objects, Ouija boards and so forth like that, dealing with astrology. And what they don't know is the demon would have permission to enter that person, and they don't know. But because we were not taught that, we don't know. I thank God that he is exposing what the demonology ministry is all about. Because when I was in school, man, I ain't hearing nothing about no demonology. One thing I was taught was all the demons in hell, which is a lie. And that, what else? All demons are hell. In some classes, ain't no such thing as demons kind of a thing. But I learned by my relationship with him, and I guess God wanted me to quit being ignorant. And God hooked me up with Brother Emmett. And when he was a gangster, and by our relationship, he converted back over to being a Christian as he was when he was a young man. And then God taught him deliverance ministry by demonology. God taught him, took him down to hell, showed him there's a place called the Halls of Theology. That's where all the ministers, chaplains, Christian.
We got another question. 3 minutes is up.
Okay?
We got another person.
So
3 minutes is up.
Okay. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry,
we got another question from Dr. C.R. McDouglas. Dr. C.R. McDouglas to Brother Michael Smith.
Go ahead.
He says he believes in Dr. Charles Stanley, and he does not recognize Derek Prince. He's a heretic. And he says that to him, you're a heretic, and all of us are heretics. He is a Hank Handicraft follower. Please give comeback.
Yeah, brother, you are.
Yeah.
I mean, you say you don't believe in Derek Prince, but you believe in Charles Stanley. You know, I say the vice versa of that. You know, I think Derek Prince has more foundational truth and his doctrine. And I mean, you call us heretics, but I mean, why do you call us heretics? I mean, honestly, why do you say we're heretics? Because we preach the truth, and we're saying stuff that, you know, that's not really common or heard of out there. Is that why you say that? I mean, you know, to each his own. But I mean, the point of the matter is, you know, when you come here, you're getting the truth. You know, you're getting solid teaching. So, I mean, if you feel as though we're heretics, I mean, hey, that's your opinion.
Slappy Williams want to talk to Brother Michael. I'm reading the email. Slappy Wilmore says he's a hooper. And why you go against hooping?
Because it's not nowhere found, and it can't find it nowhere in the scripture, in any Bible. You do not see anything about hooping and pumping people up by using emotionalism. You cannot find that anywhere, and y'all should be ashamed of yourselves for doing people like that.
Well, your friend, Chaplain Durden, he said that there was once, where is he at? Reverend Durden? Brother John?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He says that you used to approve hooping, and now you don't approve hooping. Now make up your mind.
That was because I was ignorant in my young days. When I was in school, and we had to do sermons and all that for our professor, and most of those guys get up, and boy, they just be clapping and everything else. And I say, Lord, hammer. So I thought it was cool, so I tried to learn hoop. And then finally in my adult life, when I got to my 30s, I realized that was just a bunch of clowns who don't do anything for nobody. Nope, nothing whatsoever. And I said, my Lord, have mercy. But I got my kids out of there, and I tell you, when my kids grow in leaps and bounds, because if he went to a Bible scholar that teaches the Bible, he didn't spend half the time up there hooping and sweating and stuff like that. Kids come up and say, what you learn today, honey? I don't know, Daddy, but he sang the song. And
all right, got another question.
And so forth. Yeah.
Another question. I got to read this to Brother Michael Smith. What do you think about Smith Wigglesworth?
I'm not too familiar with Smith Wigglesworth. I mean, I've heard that he's okay, go ahead, Brother John.
Yeah, he's he was a man who was seeking the Lord himself. And the Holy Spirit came upon him when he was in prayer and just said, my son, I'm drawing you to myself. I'm going to teach you my word, just like he did Brother Emmett. And what he did, he taught him the gifts of the Holy Spirit and everything else. And his church expanded beyond numbers. And in his church, he would give revelation to people who needed. Folks come in there, didn't know what to do, wanted to say, I got this problem. He says, I know what it is, honey. And the Holy Spirit was telling him to tell her or him exactly what the problem was. They were healed. People come up to his up his pulpit declaring that they have breast cancer and these kinds of things. And he would put hands on him. And right there in his church, lumps had dissipated. He really was a godly man. He really was a godly man. I got about 8 books of his in the office. He really was a true godly man, you know. And I'd like to add one more thing, too. You know, like I was taught in seminary that, you know, we have this written word, tongues out, and all this other kind of thing. And to make a long story short, somehow the Spirit didn't let me receive that. I just kept walking around the doubt, and I went to both my doctors. One, I was raised as a Methodist when I was a child. They kept saying, ain't no such thing as tongues, the gifts of spirit. We have a written word. And then when I became a doubt, when I moved to Atlanta, I joined the Baptist church then because my wife is Baptist, and they said the same things. There ain't no such thing as tongue and everything, and blah, blah, blah.
Hang on, y'all.
But
wait a minute. Hang on. I'm hearing something from the Lord. Brother Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Open that line up,
770-363. Okay.
Hold on. Let me do something. Ma'am?
Yes, sir.
You need some deliverance. Brother Mike?
Yes, sir.
Big Mike, give me Pigs in the Parlor, basic deliverance. About 10, 15 minutes for her. She's getting harassed by demonic spirits. Spirit of worrying, spirit of anxiety, spirit of stress, spirit of nervousness, quiffle spirit, fear spirit, spirit of confusion. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, ma'am, repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
I come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
I ask that you forgive me for all my sins.
I ask that you forgive me for all my sins.
Known and unknown.
Known and unknown.
And I believe that the power of your word can get these demons out of me.
And I believe that the power of your word can get these demons out of me.
I want them to go.
I want them to go.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, I want you to start blowing, okay? Ready? Anxiety, come out of her. Anxiety. Get ready for things on the follow by anxiety. Come on out. Nervous.
I misplaced my book, brother. I don't have it.
I got nervous tension. Come on out. Stress. Come on out. Brother Mike.
Yes, sir.
I got to go to the restroom. Get stress, nervous tension, and nervous tension. Work on that till I get back because I'm going to make them demons speak. I got to use the restroom. Stress. Attention, keep pounding that thing. Keep pounding, gotta use the restroom.
All right. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stress and tension manifest now and go. Nervousness, go in the name of Jesus. Nervousness, go. Stress, tension, and nervousness, go in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Manifest now, come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And go. We command you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not our own authority, but by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, all stress, tension, anxiety, fear, pain, go now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come out now. Nervousness, go. Nervous feeling, go. Confusion and fear, go now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Coming out. Coming out, schizophrenia. Coming out. Coming out. Coming out, ma'am. Coming out of there. Come on out. You demonic spirit, I command you to talk to me if you're in there. I want you to get out the way, ma'am. Let that thing speak. Get out the way and let it speak. It's time to speak and you holding back. It ain't going to be you. Let it speak. Let it speak. Get out the way. In the name of Jesus, manifest yourself. What is your name? What is your name? Who are you? Who are you? Okay, ma'am, I want you to start blowing out, okay? You ready?
Yes.
Okay, nervousness, come out right now. Blow it out. Come on out. Nervousness. Nervousness. Bad dreams. Anxiety. Anxiety. Come on out. Blow it out. Come on out, anxiety. Come out of her. Mind binding. Come on out, mind binding. Mind binding. Hey, Brother Mike.
Yes, sir.
Write these names down and send it to Sister Durden for me. Mind binding, coming out of there. When you hear me say something three times, write it down. Mind binding, coming out. Mind binding, come on out. Mind binding, mind binding, come out of her. Come on out. Come on out. Mind binding, mind binding. The next one, Mike. Anxiety, come on out of there. Anxiety, come out. Come on out. Anxiety, blow it out, ma'am. Throw it out. Anxiety. Come on out. And stress and anxiety works together and really put her in some serious stressful situations. Come out of there. Nervous tension. Come on out of there. Nervous tension. Nervous tension, come out of there. Who are you? Manifest and speak. Who are you? Heaviness, come on out of there. Come on out, heaviness. Y'all moving around. Come on out of there. Stop moving around and come out. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Come on out of there. Come out. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Escape. Come on out. Come on out. Depression. Depression, get out of there. Despondency, disparagement, discouragement. Coming out, discouragement. Defeatism, dejection, hope, suicide, heaviness. Coming out. Come out, heaviness. Coming out of there. Coming out, heaviness. Come out. Heaviness, come out now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Come out of there. Get out of there, heaviness. Coming out. Nervousness, come out. Nervous breakdown, come out. Come out. Stress, come out of there in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Anxiety, I see you. Get on back up here. Stop running down to that leg. Get on back up here. Come on out of there. Get out of there. Get out. And don't hide nowhere in her parts. I see you. 2 Kings 6:17, I see it. Come on out of there. Come on out, fear. Come on out, fear. Confusion, come out, confusion in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come out of there. Come out, confusion. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Nervousness, coming out. Coming out. Nervousness, frustration, coming out. Nervousness, stress, anxiety, coming out. Coming out. All demons that stop in her peace, come out. Man, when you read the Bible, do you fall asleep?
No, I don't.
Do you get nervous when you read the Bible? What happens to you?
When I read the Bible, I start burning in my body.
You start burning?
Yes, in my legs and my thighs.
All right, I want you to go get the Bible, and I want to find out what's burning. Go get your Bible. I want you to read something. You tell me where it's burning when you read this.
Okay, it's right here. Hold on.
Gotta go down by that side.
Okay, I have the Bible.
All right, I want you to read slow. Mark chapter 5. And when you start getting some burning, tell me where it's hurting at. Keep reading the scripture and let me know where you're burning at.
Okay, I'm turning to Mark 5. Okay. And they came out unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No.
Let me know when you start hurting.
Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling any pain, any burning?
It's not like I had gone to a Bible study tonight, and after about 20 minutes of them doing the sermon, it started burning. And now
You know why it's not burning right now? Because it's dormant, and it knows I know it's dormant. Now, here's what we got to do with you. Sister, mm-hmm. You got to be more consistent with us, because sometimes we be calling you and you don't call us back.
Oh, okay.
Now, you got to be, we're going to do our part, and we're going to get you to do yours. You got another appointment tomorrow, but you got a deep appointment Friday. I want you to come back in this room. See, they dormant right now. And I want you to come back in this room tomorrow, and I'm going to pray between 9 tomorrow, and I'm going to get them. The Lord's going to undo them, but they're going to speak. I need them things to speak. They won't speak to you. Sometimes demon won't speak to a person, and sometimes they will. But I want you to come back in this room and get some more deliverance tomorrow, and then I got an appointment for you Friday at 7:30.
Okay, I'll do it. Okay.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow here.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
No, don't you thank me. I don't know.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Thank
there you,
Jesus.
Go. No. Thank
yes,
you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Now, thank you. Yeah. You're good now.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Jesus. Okay, good night.
Bye. God bless you. There's a lot of people. Amen. Amen, ma'am. There's a lot of people hurting out here, and we need deliverance ministers. I'm 57 years old. I'm 56. I don't even know what I am. I guess 56, 57, one of them. And I work long hours. And I'm praying that God send me some help. Thank you, God, to send me Brother Mike. Mike helps us as much as he can. He has a job. And I'm going to ask the Lord to bless Brother Mike and bless everybody who's helping. And I thank all of you, Brother John, for your support. Thank you for helping me, Brother John and Brother Mike. Thank you again for continuing being with me. And I pray and I thank you for everything you've done for this ministry, Brother Mike. You've been a blessing to this ministry. And I would like to ask God to answer one prayer that you become a baptized Pittsburgh Steelers. Everything was going good when I went there, everybody.
You went left. You was going right, then you went left.
Let's go. Hey, Brother Mike, why did that demon wasn't manifesting around me? Why was it doing that?
That's like they always do. They know the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. I've seen that firsthand. When these demons realize who they're dealing with, they get real stubborn and they shut up real quick.
They sure do. And they can get vicious too. I was at a delivery today. Brother Mike, let me tell y'all what happened before I go. But John, you wanna hear it?
Yeah.
I was at a Doraville, Georgia. You know what Doraville at, Brother John?
Yeah.
Out there where the GM plant used to be.
Uh-huh.
And this young lady, I ain't going to get her name, age, or nothing. She's just a lady. I ain't going to say what color. They said I was in Doraville. Then I went to there to pick somebody up to go to Duluth. 27 years old. Got into some deep necromancy, speaking to the dead, dealing with deep black arts, conjums, calling forth the dead spirits. Man, that girl got so messed up. Brother Michael, she was levitating for 4 days and couldn't nobody get her down.
Mm.
As people walked and be around her, the demon was telling everybody about everybody's sin. I ain't never something like that in my life. That demon said, "Why are you up in here, Reverend Stoutman? You just had sex with your lover." And I was like, and I was praying, Lord, say, the demon telling the truth on him. I said, "Man, y'all need to get out of here." So 6, 7 of them in sin. I'm in there by myself, Brother Mike, with an 18-year-old girl who pray in tongues, who loved Derek Prince, 18.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's all I got. I said, the Lord said, she'll work. I said, Lord, this ain't Gun Gangster. Well, Gun Gangster ain't here. I got to give you what I got. And that's sad. What all got, the Lord got is an 18-year-old girl. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
18. He can't get nobody else. So, hey, Apostle Overton, I know you from Live Deliverance. Let's do this. She just says, all I need you to do is just pray in tongues. Oh, I ain't scared of no demon. I can look at it. I don't finish. She quoted about 12 scriptures on fear. I said, come on. I ain't had no other help. I said, come on. You know Derek Prince? Yeah, I know Derek Prince. She told away from Eden College and everything. I said, the Lord has sent this little girl up here full of Derek Prince. I know I'm good. I said, all I want you to do is to pray. I said, no, the Lord said, don't limit you. Get the holy oil. I got discernment, a brother, and I test the spirit. Boy, that sister got discernment, a word of knowledge. Same as I said, oh, my God. So the little young girl was getting word of knowledge about the father. And the father had some deep sins and found out that there was a lot of witchcraft in the bloodline. But that thing threw feces. It threw at feces at everybody but me and that little girl. It was like when it tried to throw a feces, something knocked it out the way. It just didn't even hit us. This stuff is real. And the powers of darkness for deliverance ministers, you got to cleanse yourself. I came under attack. I had to go to the hospital. because I was having problems trying to sleep. And it's like 3 o'clock comes. That's the demonic hour, and I encounter it every night. And not tonight. I'm on a fast. That ain't happening. And I've been battling this thing because I do deliverance all the time, every day of my life. My life is deliverance. But I'm going to be taking a vacation when I get to Jamaica for a while. I need some rest. When I get to Jamaica, I've been instructed by my apostle to rest for 2 months. I will be doing a regular broadcast, but I would not be doing no deliverance. I will be on as me and Brother Mike will be on as your host. And who's going to minister to you will be Jermaine Edwards Live and Pastor Edwards at the church. I'll be in different churches. We'll be bringing different Jamaican pastors in the Blog Talk radio room to talk to us, to bring a sermon. And I'm going to open up doors to a lot of the ministers. My apostle is going to allow me to get some of the ones who used to be in training to come and bring the word. This ministry grows in Jamaica for some reason. I fell in love with Jamaica back in the early 70s when I was with Pastor Wayne C. Thompson. I used to represent the Church of Fellowship of Faith as a messenger when I was working for the airline industry. And I was sending $400 to $500 a week to Jamaica. And I met a little light-skinned Jamaican girl. That little girl looked just like me. I tried to adopt her, but because I was 27, 28, just out of the military, I didn't have a wife or a home at that time. I was unable to adopt her. And it was called Berean Christian Children Home in Duncan's Trelawney. And what attracted me to the country of Jamaica is to see people walk for miles with no clothes on to get to church. They don't do that in America, where deliverance is accepted. See, they know about Obeah spirits. They know about witchcraft and conjums. This stuff is real. God bless you. Any final word, Pastor Durden? Any final word, Pastor Mike, before we close?
Amen, brother. No, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the session tonight. It was really good. I'm still learning. Like, I never thought at my age, at 78, and I'll be studying demonology, but I got to do what the Lord wants. What you want me to do? And next thing I know, he got me on this thing, on this demonology, and I had experiences with demons where they talked to me when I was in the hospital, cussed me out and everything else. So it's really real. It's really, Amen. Really real.
Amen. God bless everybody. Pastor Mike, let's lock it up.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, give you all glory, honor, and praise, Father. We thank you, Father, for that teaching tonight, Father. Well, Father, we thank you for the deliverance that the sister received tonight, Father, as well. Father, we thank you for the knowledge and wisdom, the understanding, Father, that is pouring out, Father, that is going forth each and every night, Father. We thank you, Father, for the ministers here, Father. We thank you for the listeners, for the viewers, Father, that you have sent to us, Father. We thank you, Father, for each and every one out there listening, Father, tuning in to us worldwide as well, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you all glory, honor, and praise, Father, as we try to continue our best to do your will, Father, and to serve you. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
God bless and have a wonderful night. Thank you, Mike. Get some rest. Brother John, I'll call you after I get through talking to two deliverance people. Like I do some deliverance. God bless.
Okay, good. Amen.
Amen.